7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Welcome to a Trending Topics Network presentation of Toons Game Time for Saturday, August 22nd, 2015. My name is Brian. It is Brian. I can't talk. I've already made that clear, as we've been discussing before the show. However, I will be joined by Ryan Hamner here in a brief second. But before we should get into that, the contact information that if you would like to get a hold of this show, or be on the show, or do whatever, it's real easy to do. Tune Show is all you need to know. TOONSSHOW. That's Skype, Gmail, Twitter, .com, whatever, Facebook, everything. Just get a hold of us. Let us know what you're thinking about the video game world, and we'll get a hold of you. And say thanks for your input. Also, if you get confused, just go to TuneShow.com, follow the Looney Bin tab, and you'll be able to find all that contact information. Easy as that. You can find us as well at TrendingTopicsNetwork.com, as well as the Toon Show iTunes feed. Just search Toon Show or TrendingTopicsNetwork.com, and you'll get this show, ToonsCast, or the Toons with Jack and Brian, and Toons Chucks is actually what I meant to say. But as I said, I can't talk this evening, and that's okay. However, let's go to somebody right now who can talk, and that would be my co-host for the week, one Mr. Ryan Hamner, who has a strong internet connection this evening.
I've got good internet, and I have a happy kid, so she will not be screaming in the background this week. So that's we're already two steps ahead of the last time I was on.
Yeah, screaming kids is always fun because you never really know how to handle them. At least in my case, like with my kids, because it's like, well, what are they upset about? And then kind of one of those things where you're like, well, once you know they're upset, then do you even have the capability of fixing the problem in a timely manner?
And the funny thing about that night was that we were both upset about the exact same thing, because the internet was bad, so I couldn't talk to you guys. The internet was bad, so she could not watch Scooby-Doo on Netflix, so It was just a disaster.
Yeah, and you know, once you get to that point, how do you explain to a kid they can't watch Scooby-Doo right now?
That's not the answer she's looking for. She wants, you know, it's fix it, Daddy, unplug it, hit the reset button, wave your magic wand to make bad internet go away and good internet show up. And I'm not. We got to call the AT&T guy for that. I'm not that skilled. So.
Yeah, and it used to be back in the day, before all this fun technology, that like the most frustrating thing was like waiting for Christmas to come. And now one of the more frustrating things is when you've got like a load screen, and like Netflix has theirs that has the little four dots or whatever that cycles through them. Mm-hmm. And it's so frustrating. And then you think back, even just like, think back like 8 years ago when DSL or even dial up was around. And you'd literally have to wait, if you wanted to watch a video, a simple video, a two-minute video, you had to wait like 10 minutes while the thing uploaded.
I remember trying to play the old Papyrus NASCAR game, the first one that came out, which would have been probably 1995. I remember trying to play multiplayer on that via dial-up, and we've come so far.
We have. We really have, because pretty much all data is instantaneous now. Virtually.
Just to get away from the fax machine noises of listening to it load, is we're ahead already.
Yeah. Well, we've actually got a lot of info for our listeners this week as well, in the form of news. But before we get into that, let's talk a little bit about what we've been playing recently. And Ryan, what have you been up to? I know that you're getting your move in. I would imagine you're starting to unpack all the cool stuff that you've got going on. What was some of the first things that you actually played once you started getting that stuff unpacked?
The last couple of weeks have been all Grand Theft Auto 5 all the time for me. I finished the main campaign. I think it was Tuesday I wrapped it up. And now I'm just kind of putzing around doing the side stuff, doing the airplane missions, doing some racing, buying all the property I can afford, playing the stock market, just doing little stuff like that, and I just can't put it down. I've beaten it twice now, and it's just it's as exciting and engaging the second time as it was the first.
Nice. And can you actually, like, purchase all the properties, theoretically, or do they generate more and, like, you lose possession? Or
I don't think they...
How's that work?
I don't think they generate any fresh ones, but the golf course in San Andreas is $150 million, and there's no way I'm going to gain that much cash. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah, if you think about it, it's kind of be... how long would it take you to do that, and... how many missions are there that would allow you to do that? That's a lot of prostitutes running over with your car and taking their money.
Exactly. When I finished the campaign, and I didn't do everything to earn money, but I did quite a bit of it. I think all three of my characters had like $30 million apiece. So that's a total of 90. Of course, you can't get together with the other characters to buy something. Only one guy can buy one piece of property. So I'm, you know, $147 million shy of... getting that, so it's not going to happen.
Yeah, it's not going to happen at all. I can't even imagine getting something that detailed. What I've been playing this week is a number of things, just a little bit at a time, really. First off, I downloaded Transgalactic Tournament on the PS4 this week, and well, I'll talk about it a little more later, but it's just not my type of game. So I spent about 15 minutes with it before realizing, nope, not my thing. I've been playing a lot of Halo Reach with my son this week for the Xbox 360 as well. We've been coming down here, and that little shit, he is so much better at first-person shooters than I am. He's really kind of a strategic guy. He goes in just blasting away. I don't know what the heck I'm doing. Like, I'm not good. I've never been. I love Halo. But it takes me forever to beat it. It always does, because while I love it, I'm just terrible at first-person shooters. So I just kind of run in and drop grenades on the big dudes, and that's kind of my strategy, is die a lot.
Now, I'm not that familiar with the Halo universe. I've played a little bit of, I think it was ODST I played. So when you're playing with your son, are you guys, is this a co-op, or is this competitive against each other, or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, well, like, he wanted to play, like, a deathmatch with the two of us or whatever, but I'm like, I don't like that kind of thing. And it's like, because it's kind of one of those things, like, the original Call of Duties, some of those I actually got involved in with some of my Army buddies, and I just, you get people who learn maps, and they learn where to go in the maps, and they learn where you're going to go in the maps, and I'm not about that. So I was like, let's just do the campaign. So we're just running through the campaign, the story mode, just having a blast. It's actually a lot of fun, even though, like I said, I mean, I die a lot, but that's the way it goes, really. Mm-hmm. It's still fun. Just we kind of, in-game, we have different methods, but actually with controller in hand, we do the same thing. We're sitting on the couch, and we're sitting there playing. And then eventually we just stand up and stretch our legs out, and then the next thing you know, we're just standing there and playing, and then 20 minutes later, we're still standing playing the game. But, yeah, I guess it's the more adult, grown-up version of jumping up and down with the controller.
Yeah.
But it is what it is. And then the other one was Limbo.
Mm.
We just started playing that. I didn't catch it the first time around. I believe it was on, what, the Vita and the PS3 before?
I think originally it came out on the 360. It was one of the Summer of Arcade games.
Yeah, and so I downloaded that. It's one of the PS Plus games this month. An interesting and amusing game. I like the artistry that they use. Again, I'll probably talk about it a little bit later in the show. And then right before the show, of course, I was playing New Vegas. While waiting for that to happen, because everybody's gone to bed. So
it's always a good choice.
Yeah, yeah. So I just came down here, wait for the show, play some New Vegas. I'm looking actually right now at it. I believe they call it Dice X. I always call it Deus Ex. What is it?
Deus Ex.
Humans Evolve.
Yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah, I picked it up at the retro store for $3 the other day, so I was like, heck yeah, I wanted to play it. I haven't played it yet. I will likely play it this week because I'm off work, and that means a lot of video game time for me.
You can't beat that price.
No, you really can't. That's why as soon as I saw it, and then I saw $2.99, I was like, oh, yeah. So I just grabbed a hold of it. We talked a little bit last week. And I know that you listen to it, but the American Psychological Association story, I wanted to get your thoughts on that, because I actually allowed my daughter to start playing Skyrim, because she's 13, and has a pretty firm grasp on reality. Really, Skyrim, in my opinion, as a parent, is not anything more than what she already watches on TV, for the most part. But they're talking about the link between violence and video games and things like that. Did you happen to catch that article, and what were your thoughts on it?
I didn't read all the article, but I did listen to what you guys were saying about it last week. You know, I mean, there's no question that there's a connection there. I mean, when you're doing these violent acts, particularly the guy that wrote in and mentioned the Grand Theft Auto thing about how he was driving aggressively afterwards. I can say that that's happened to me before. I mean, it's like, but at the same time, like, we went and saw Mad Max Fury Road this year, and after leaving the theater, I had the exact same deal. I just wanted to, like, drive and run people off the road and stuff. So, I mean, it's not just limited to video games. That kind of connection is with TV. It's with music. It's with movies. It just can't be purely focused on video games. They don't deserve to have the spotlight entirely on them. It's just media in general. It's sports. I mean, a guy plays high school football, he gets amped up off of that. I mean, that's a violent sport. There's just so many different, you can't have tunnel vision on video games.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right, and there are so many emotional stimulators in the environments in which we live that it's really kind of hard to single out one particular thing and say this is the cause of it. So I completely agree with you there. And like you said, I mean, surely it has some impact. It's just a matter of how much impact does it have. But it was an interesting topic. I talked a little bit about it with my wife, and really she didn't add a whole lot more of what we do. She's very anti-video game, to say the least. She's not big into video games, but she also understands the place in the culture and does understand some of the positive benefits of things like playing video games, and recognizes the distinct difference between blaming a single source for the problems in society while basically neglecting to mention all the other things, like movies, like even music, and things like that. I mean, hell, watch the news. The news is filled with violence.
I mean, let's say you ban violent video games. Somebody who feels, has an interest in that type of stuff, they're just going to go to a different media. They'll start watching violent movies. There's no way to get rid of all this stuff to just kind of cleanse the whole plate. I mean, it's just not possible. Where do you draw the line at?
Yeah, it is hard, and unfortunately, there, like I said last week, the bottle is always going to be there between the people who want to tone down the violence and everything else. What we'll do as a society is we'll continue to blur the lines by taking common themes and ideas and muddy the waters by changing definitions as we see fit. And I think the more that we have social media, things like that, and everybody has a voice, then the more confused everybody will get.
Mm-hmm. And with social media, everything is a knee-jerk reaction.
Yeah. Yeah, and these people, unfortunately, aren't social mediaites. They're, you know, legit people with doctorates and everything else, but as my good friend Michael Crichton once said, everyone has an agenda except me. And so you gotta always be aware of that as well.
Yeah, it's gonna be a talking point forever. It's not gonna go away. It's always going to be, used for political angles and stuff like that. It's just something we're going to have to live with.
Yeah. And as a parent, I think the way you can avoid the whole, you know, violent impacts, or at least minimize any violent impacts, is simply keep that open dialogue with your kids. Because like my daughter, she's 13 years old, smart as a whip, understands. And I told her, I'm like, you can play this game, but you're not to play it around your younger brother. Period. End of story. There's no leeway there. Because if I catch her, then she's done. She's not playing it anymore. But you gotta keep it a tight lid, or at least some sort of control over what you give your kids, what you allow them to play. And if you do allow them to play, that dialogue is so important and so undervalued, I think, at times. Or at least, maybe not undervalued is the term, but definitely, it's one of those things that its impact is not always mentioned. Because in a study like that, they're looking at kids and what kind of conversation was being held with these kids about violent games. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing very little.
Yeah, I would say you're right.
But either way, let's get into the news this week, because that was last week. And we're going to start kind of a little bit different. A topic that I tend to not understand, but, you know, that's YouTubers. No, not that one. I hit the wrong bumper. There, here you go. Either way. Always be aware of which button you're hitting. YouTube personalities are under investigation, according to Polygon.com. A non-disclosure investigation centered around multiplayer survivor horror game Dead Realm is underway. Federal authorities are talking to popular YouTubers Tom Syndicate Castle and Adam Cnanners Montoya. Because they're heavily involved with Dead Realm, put out some Dead Realm playing videos where they're playing the game and reacting enthusiastically to the game. However, that game, published by 3 Black Dot, employs both Castle and Montoya, as well as many Ex Machinima employees. Hyping a video game without disclosing that relationship is a violation of Federal Trade Commission regulations, and so they could be in some deep trouble. Now, what are your thoughts on this? I mean, that's one of those things that kind of makes common sense, and I don't know. What are your thoughts?
Well, I'll just preface this by saying that I know very, very little about Federal Trade Commission's guidelines, and I had never heard of either of these guys before this, but I did read through the article, and, I mean, yeah, it seems pretty cut and dry that they're kind of bending the rules in their favor here.
Yeah. And it's not something that is so unreasonable to expect somebody who is literally involved in the game, who has a lot to gain from the game. I don't think it's too difficult of a concept for them to understand. I mean, I don't understand why they wouldn't have disclosed that, especially given topics like the black marked Gamergate, which I guess at one point was about things like that, where reviews and ethics journalism and things like that, which these YouTubers are really kind of part of. It's a new wave journalism, much like a blogger is. So I just don't understand why they wouldn't do something. Just disclose. I mean, it's simple. You just say it. It would take literally seconds for them to say, hey, this is a game that I'm involved in, check this out, and still be enthusiastic about the game.
Yeah.
I just don't understand. Is it their issue, or do you think it's maybe the publisher's issue?
You know, it's just so hard to say. I know, scrolling down through the comments here, Phil Kohler, I know, I've heard his name in the industry plenty of times, so I think he's pretty highly regarded. He has a comment here that says, I think the guidelines require them to disclose it in every video that they're part of this. He's a senior editor at Polygon. I think he probably knows what he's talking about. So, I mean, yeah. if they weren't doing that, it's just so hard to say. I mean, I don't know how, like, well-informed these YouTube guys are about the rules and regulations and stuff, if maybe they weren't even aware that they were supposed to disclose it every single time. But still, I mean, somebody should be held responsible for it, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And you look at their actual accounts, I mean, they're talking, I believe, millions upon millions of views. They're making money off their videos. So if you're making money off of something like that and you're getting millions of views, you should have a pretty good idea of what the FTC rules are on it, since this has really kind of been a really hot topic in the gaming community when it comes to these YouTube and Twitch videos and things like that. Especially, I mean, the company has ex-Machinima people. Machinima knows all about this stuff. People at Machinima know all about that stuff. So it just makes no sense why nobody with that publisher would actually have a clue that this was actually something that was illegal.
I mean, I could see if they had made 3 or 4 videos without disclosing it. Yeah, maybe, okay, yeah, they just don't know what's going on. But, I mean, it sounds like they've made plenty, and somebody would have said something by this time, you'd think.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate, because, I mean, maybe it's a good game. Maybe it's a great game. There's going to be that little thing behind it. I don't know. Maybe people won't even care. Maybe the people who watch the videos won't care. And I'm just sitting here as a non-video watcher who just doesn't like the fact that they're breaking rules to make some money.
No.
I don't know if that's the case or not. But it's possible. I don't know. I mean, I have biases. I understand that. But it'll be interesting to see how it unfolds. And apparently, the UK Committee of Advertising Practices may actually be following suit as well, which it mentions at the end of the article. So they could be in hot water, and who knows? I don't even know what any kind of punishment would actually entail.
Yeah, I don't know either. I had never heard of this story until you brought it up this afternoon, but this is definitely something that I'm going to be paying attention to from here on out, because it's just such a unique set of circumstances. And I mean, we're finally getting to a point here where these guys are kind of being taken seriously. You know, you say that, oh, I'm a YouTuber, I talk about games and stuff like that, you know, and people said, they're just kind of starting to be like, wow, that's like a legit thing you're doing, and then something like this happens.
Yes. And actually, I think it's funny because earlier this week I came across an article, which I posted to the Facebook feed. I'm not sure if I did on Twitter or not, but facebook.com/toonshow. It's an article that a guy, I think he's a psychologist, actually explained why kids watch these movies or these videos on YouTube of people playing games. And this is where my concern maybe comes in, and why maybe I'm a little more sensitive to that story when I saw it. But it talks about how these guys who put out these videos become sort of heroes, like a sports figure, back in our day and even today with a lot of us, is because they're good at things that the kids themselves like doing, and so they look up to them, and they look up to them as sporting figures, and they look up to them to teach them how to play games, to teach them what games are cool, and therefore they're actually selling this to kids. And the kids are watching these videos, and they're saying, hey, I want to get this game. And so it's almost like they're manipulating the system for their benefit, and in a small way, it's not the adults our age. As me, 36, I think you're a couple years older than me. They're not selling it to you and me. They're selling those videos to the kids that are watching them, and you're talking 14, 16, 18, yeah. 12.
I mean, the only time I've ever sat down and watched a video of somebody playing a game and making comments over it is to just because somebody directed me. Oh, you got to check. I think Poppin' Stuffins or something. I'm sure I'm getting his name wrong, but he's really popular. I've seen him, and it was the most obnoxious 30 seconds of my life. But yet he had like 5 million followers, and people are sending him money, and I'm just like, this is not for me. I'm sure somebody must be into it, but yeah, I think I'm not in their demographic.
Yeah, exactly. It's like the kids when they put on their freaking Fred movie.
He's the worst.
They're laughing away, and you're like, no, shut that up.
Yeah, Fred sucks.
But anyway, we'll move on because, quite frankly, as a parent, I'll just get frustrated talking about YouTube videos about Minecraft. Nintendo NX may not have a name, but it also might not have an optical drive. A very unusual story came out this week. Again, this one actually from Polygon as well, just coincidentally. A patent was filed in February for the Nintendo NX and released this past Thursday. Schematics for the NX device, or what we assume is the NX device, a console that's top secret right now from Nintendo, actually show a slot, which is like a hole, for a memory card containing two programs, and then another slot for another input, which we're not quite sure of. Speculation right now is ranging from a streaming service, another memory card unit, or even possibly a cartridge. If you'll remember, the N64 was really the last cartridge-based console to come out from Nintendo some nearly 20 years ago. What are your thoughts on this? I mean, this is kind of a big deal, because I'm looking at that, and I'm like, whatever it is they're doing with this NX, I could be possibly huge.
I can't wait to blow on the bottom of the cartridge every time before I put it in the machine to make it work. I really miss doing that.
Why did we have to do that, by the way? But we didn't have to do it with the Genesis?
I never had a Genesis, so...
Oh, well, yeah, I never, ever, ever, ever had to blow out anything in a Genesis. Like, even now, the Genesis that I owned as a kid is sitting on my shelf right now, and I never had to blow it out.
You could drop Sonic on it right now, and it would just work, huh? Wow.
Yeah, Sonic 2 is actually sitting in it right
now.
How
about that? God, that was all the time with the NES and the Super NES cartridges. And you remember the cleaning kits? So obviously there's going to be an NX cleaning kit already in development.
That'd be so funny, the NX Swiffer.
Yeah, I mean, this is different. I mean, I don't know. I mean, like, the Vita technically uses cartridges, but, I mean, it's not like a conventional cartridge that we think of. You know, it just kind of slides in. It's about the size of like a CF card for a digital camera. So I don't know if it's going to be something like that, if it's going to be memory. I mean, there's a thousand different directions they could go with this, but yeah, it definitely, no optical drive is definitely interesting.
Yeah, and I'm imagining it's going to be like a complete troll job by Nintendo, and what we'll see is like a Wii U gamepad kind of thing. or the other memory card slot thing that we'll call it for all intents and purposes, the other input will end up being something like the little platform that the Skylanders sit on, something like that. But ideally, I mean, this is really, Nintendo has been sitting back on their heels in the console development area for a long time, and to come up with something that it's just so confusing, is also so very Nintendo, that you don't know what it is that they are doing. And are they doing something completely innovative? There's word that they've been working with Android and the mobile, like kind of working some mobile stuff right now, but you don't know if this has something to do with that. Really, it's just very confusing.
Well, would you agree, Brian, that after the Wii U is basically a flop at this point. Don't you think that Nintendo really has to shake stuff up, and they really have to hit, they don't just have to hit a home run with this one, they have to hit a grand slam. I mean, they have to have graphics that shouldn't even be on par with the PS4. They should be able to exceed those at this point, because they're already, I mean, it's going to be, what, 2 years after, 3 years after the the Xbox One and stuff, I mean, they really have to they got to trot out something that blows people away this time.
Yeah, and the thing is, I honestly think that they could get away with doing something at an Xbox One PS4 level. Based on the properties that they have. Because you've got your Super Mario, who will always sell to the kids. They've got their Zeldas, who will always sell to our generation. They've got enough of the properties to justify doing something at the level of the Xbox One and the PS4. If they do something that can actually bring in the third parties, something that's going to be easily portable from those other consoles. And I think that's really what's been killing, because you can't tell me that somebody coming into their early to mid-20s that is still very familiar with Mario, very familiar with Zelda, very familiar with all those characters, that if they're in their early to mid-20s starting to have kids of their own, they're not going to lean towards a Nintendo. Like, they are going to lean towards a Nintendo, if they can, as long as there's going to be things on it for them. Because if you give me the option right now, I would gladly get a Nintendo product. If I could still get my Skyrims, if I could still get my Fallouts, if I could still get a third-party game. And that's what killed the Wii U. Because you even look at the Wii, we had a little bit of third-party, not a whole lot, but that thing sold like crazy for the kids. I still think they have it. I still think they have the capability. But I just don't know what the hell they're doing. And that's just one of those things that they got to get it right. They got to get it at least in the ballpark of right. Because if they have another failure, they're toast. They're going to end up selling the rights to some of these properties just so they can stay afloat.
For whatever reason, the Nintendo crowd, if you own a Nintendo and that's the only console you have, they just don't seem interested in those kind of non-core Nintendo, like the Mario. Nobody likes the stuff that's not Mario or Metroid or Smash Brothers. I remember on the Wii when did you ever play Dead Space, Brian?
Yeah, there was a
game called Dead Space Extraction that they made for the Wii, and it was exclusive to that because it used the waggle thing or whatever, and it just didn't sell. It was a great game, and nobody bought it.
Nice. I'll have to look for it. I'm sure I can find it somewhere. Because I still have my Wii here. I just never play it. But, yeah, I'm intrigued by it. I mean, I've checked out the whole schematics and everything because I'm kind of fascinated by it. But, there's just so many things that I don't know. There are so many possibilities it could be. And the key is in what goes into that other input. I think that's going to tell us so much. But who knows? Maybe it'll be like the Sega Mega Drive, not the Mega Drive, but the Sega CD.
I mean, I would love to get that exciting feeling of buying a brand new Nintendo console on launch day. I mean, that hasn't happened to me since the Super Nintendo. I would love to get that rush again and reunite with some of these characters, especially with a kid now. So I just want them to give me a reason to get back into Nintendo.
Yes. Yes, especially, I mean, you've got a little girl. And you know, the kids, they love all the different Marios. Even the original Mario, Super Mario Brothers 3, we have on the 25th anniversary edition for the Wii. And they love Super Mario Brothers 3. For good reason. It's a freaking great game.
Well, even something as Mario Maker, you've seen that for the Wii U, that looks so awesome. I would love to get it looks like you remember Excitebike back in the day when you could make your own tracks. It looks like that, only bigger and more fun and more Mario, and I so want to play that game, but I'm not shelling out the $300 for a Wii U just to play that one game and a handful of other ones.
And unfortunately, that's what you're going to have to do. Seriously, one of those situations where you're like, man, I wish video rental places still rented out consoles. You know? Because I know that we had one that you could rent a Nintendo Entertainment System.
I remember that.
For like $40.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember renting a, when I was in college, renting a PlayStation 1, and we'd get Resident Evil, and we'd just play it all weekend because we had to have it back on Monday, and yeah, it was, those were the days.
Yeah, our kids will never know it, but there it is. Either way, we'll keep you updated on the NX, because now we're really intrigued, not knowing what the heck is up with that. But let's move on to the next story, which is a very short one. Well, Ryan, if you're into Black Ops 3 and didn't have a code, and now you can get into the beta, as all PS4 owners can, up until tomorrow night. So you have until tomorrow night to play that. All PS4 owners, jump on your PS4s right now, download the beta, play it. It's Black Ops 3, so whatever. Up until now, they did have limited accessibility that required a code. And the Xbox and PC beta is going to go live August 26th, I believe, is the date. I actually didn't put it in my show notes. I meant to. But I believe it goes live. So are you going to download this? Are you going to give it a shot?
Nope, Call of Duty. I mean, it's fine. I play the campaign every year, but the multiplayer and betas and all that stuff, it's just, I can wait. There's enough stuff to keep me going until it comes out, so.
Yeah, I read that it's decent, given the fact that it's a beta. They're kind of leaving the door open because there are some things that need fixed, which that's because it's a beta. But, yeah, it's Call of Duty, so I don't care. I owned both Black Ops and Black Ops 2, and I played them for a grand total of about 20 minutes each, and I was like, all right, I'm done.
It's the same thing every single year. I mean, I play it for the trophies because I'm obsessed with trophies, and that's not going to change, and they're easy to get, and I can beat it in a weekend, and there's lots of golds and silvers, and that's basically it. It's a rental.
Yeah. All right, well, that's that. If you're into it, go ahead and download it, play it, tell us you love it, and we'll just say good for you! Gamefly has a streaming service. I don't know if you knew this, but it's very Netflix-y, and it's expanding, according to GameSpot.com. Service starts at $7 a month for a bundle, and each bundle contains 7 similarly themed games, 1 pricier pack, actually is 16 games for $10 a month. But kind of an interesting concept, because obviously they can't do the full-out Netflix thing. Just first thought before I get into the rest of the story, are you into this idea?
If I was going to rent games, I would probably do this over the $20 a month for PlayStation Now. I mean, if that was the only options available to me, this seems like more bang for your buck.
Yeah, yeah, totally. And the thing is, it's not for the PlayStation, unfortunately. Previously, the service was only available on Amazon Fire devices. So you're talking about something like games that you can pick up on Steam.
Mm.
Gamefly streaming is currently available now, and it's expanded to Samsung TVs in the U.S., Canada, and 8 different European regions. Obviously, as you said, PlayStation Now, and then a speculated Xbox streaming service are similar concepts. Yeah, I love the idea. Just looking at the method that they do it, it's kind of interesting. $7 a month. 7 games that you're given a chance to check it out. I don't know how current the games are. Are they games that are released just now? I mean, I really haven't looked into it a whole lot.
The article here says Darksiders 2 and a Batman Arkham titles are going to be coming soon. And Lego games too. So, I mean, it must be relatively contemporary games.
Yeah, so, I mean, then that's kind of cool. I mean, if you're on the fence about whether to get games, and maybe you have a slightly lower budget than some people, then maybe that would be something that you're going to know that you're not going to waste your money on a game that sucks or whatever.
If you don't want a console cluttering up your entertainment center, not that they take up a ton of space, or if your wife doesn't want you to have one cluttering up the space, this is your answer, it sounds like.
Yeah. Yeah, completely. And then you can just put her on the TV to watch So You Think You Can Dance while you go play. Had to deal with that tonight.
She's watching Murder, She Wrote right now, so I think you win. Could be worse. At least she's not watching something geared towards 85-year-olds.
Yeah. Yeah, it was fun. I just kind of buried my face in my computer and did some research for the show. But either way, let's move on to our final story. Another brief one of the evening. And that would be that the Game Awards will return in 2015, according to GameSpot.com, where I found the article, which referenced a tweet from the Game Awards, which is at the Game Awards. That's a tough one to remember. The Game Awards 2015 are coming this December. Stay tuned for more news soon, is all the tweet said. If you'll recall, last year, the Game Awards actually took place in Las Vegas, Nevada. It was their debut. And organizer Jeff Keighley announced that it will take place once again in December via the Twitter account. I went over to the GameAwards.com. I like that concept. Just keep the .coms and the Twitter handles all the name of your site and your event. That's a good concept. They have no current updates. Everything is still set up for 2015. But something like that, I don't know. It's as long as you have a venue, I think it's pretty easy. Did you happen to watch the Game Awards last winter on online, because it was kind of a streaming thing where you could either watch it live or you can even watch it now.
The last gaming award show I saw is that one that Spike TV, I don't know if they still do it or not, but that probably would have been 2-3 years ago. So, yeah, I mean, I like if I'm going to watch award shows, I'd rather watch this than the Oscars or the Grammys.
What about the Tonys?
Definitely not the Tonys.
My wife watches that every She graduated with a degree from a New York school called AMDA, which is the American Musical and Dance Academy. So she's kind of
in. Oh, I see.
But, yeah, I mean, the Game Awards are pretty awesome, and Spike TV actually stopped carrying, which is why Jeff Keighley actually jumped in and filled that void. It could be a big deal. I believe they got 1.4 million views, I believe, last year online during the live streaming, if I'm not mistaken. I could be off on those numbers. But, yeah, I mean, you pull in that many views, you're going to pull in some advertising dollars. You're going to pull in the developers. They're going to show up because they want to sell their games. Certainly they want to sell more games no matter what. And if you can just pay somebody to attend the award show. I mean, why wouldn't they do it? It's a good sound investment that has little cost to them, actually. But yeah, be looking for that. We'll keep you updated as we get more information on that as well. So that'll do it for the news. And then, well, we'll get into the reviews here. New game-wise, as I said earlier, I played Limbo. Really like the artistry in it. Really like kind of the story, although the story, you notice this about the story, there's no dialogue in Limbo, but they tell you basically that the story, if you look it up, is about a little boy who's looking for his sister, and it's just, I mean, if you play it, you never know it, so far through the story, as far as I've gotten into it, but it's really kind of fun, just it's a side-scrolling puzzler, so it's kind of fun. You just figure out what to do. Yeah, I like it. I'm not a huge fan of it, so I'm probably saying a 7.5 out of 10 on it. But I really like have an appreciation for the art direction that they took it. I really like that. And then the other one was the Transgalactic Tournament, also for the PS4. That I played for the first time this week. I literally played it for 15 minutes. And it's one of those games that's an overhead view kind of strategy, kind of, I don't know, Monkeys on Acid is one of my favorite things to do. Like, if something is just so confusing you can't keep track of what the hell is going on, it's monkeys on acid. And that's exactly what this game is. Like, I'm sure that people who like this type of game will like it or whatever, especially for free. But I just can't get into that game where you got four people all bunched up like a bunch of freaking four-year-olds playing a soccer match, and you just got all these spells going on, and you randomly die and respawn and have to get back into the group of four-year-olds again. Just I haven't
played it, but I'm watching a video of it as we're talking here, and it looks, yeah, there's no way I would play this for more than 5 seconds. I'm just not a MOBA guy. I've never been into that stuff. It's just, if I'm going to go multiplayer, which is very, very rare, it's going to be Call of Duty or Metal Gear. This is, I would never play this game.
Yeah. And I played one match through, and now I kind of regret it because they give you trophies for it, and now I can't even eliminate it from my memory.
You got the trophies.
Yeah, I got a couple of trophies, which were like, wow, you won a match. And I'm like, great. But who knows? Either way. You didn't play any new games?
No, it was
that
just old stuff. Like I said, Grand Theft Auto, which I've played before. But and that's even not new. I was playing the PS4, and that's probably came out a year ago. So I'm just kind of waiting my time because Metal Gear drops here on September 1st, so I don't want to invest into anything heavy right now.
Yeah, I can't blame you. That's going to be a huge release. However, let's talk about some of the upcoming releases for this week. Because if you'll notice on the show notes, the list is rather long this week. We go up until Thursday, I believe, August 28th. So from the 24th to the 28th, starting with the 24th of August, you've got Grandia 2 for the PC, which I'm not a PC gamer. But maybe you are, so look for that. And then on the 25th, which is Tuesday, this is the big game, the big day for gamers. You got Amnesia Memories coming out for the Vita. That's an exclusive title. Ascendant for the PS4, exclusive title. Calvino Noir, which is just a kind of a nice name. For the PS4, an exclusive title, Capsule Force, for the PS4 and PC, also on the 25th of August. And then probably one of the three huge ones coming out. You've got a Dishonored Definitive Edition for the Xbox One and PS4. That's probably the third biggest game coming out this week. The second biggest game, I would say, coming out this week is the Gears of War Ultimate Edition for the Xbox One exclusively. I Am Bread for the PS4.
That's the biggest game, I assume.
Yeah. Have you seen this?
I read a long time ago about it just because of the crazy title, but yeah, I have no clue what to expect, and unless it's free, I'm not going to play it.
It's basically going to be Goat Simulator.
Okay.
And then it'll be and then it's kind of a train wreck of this was created when somebody got high and said, let's make a game about bread.
Boy.
Yeah, but that's a PS4 exclusive. And then the big one, Madden NFL 16. Are you picking this one
I'm
up?
I'm kind of saying no at this point. I say that every year, and I always end up caving and buying it, but I'm just kind of burned out on football in general, man, and that kind of bleeds over into the game, too. I don't think I'm going to buy it. I definitely ain't going to buy it on Tuesday.
Yeah. I bought NFL, or Madden NFL 15, and that's enough for me. And the one that previously I owned before that was Madden 09.
That's a pretty big gap, then.
Yeah, that's a pretty big... It is a big gap, and they did change a lot between those years, and especially when you go from a 360 into a PS4. But, yeah, I mean, I just don't find it to be one of those games that I'm just like, man, I gotta play this. Because, like you, I'm kind of burned out on the whole NFL thing. Football in general.
By the time you launch your console and play a standard game with 7-8 minute quarters, you've eaten up an hour of your gaming time with a kid and jobs and stuff. I mean, my gaming time has become very, very precious to me. I just don't know if I want to play it on something that just doesn't. I mean, it's as much frustration as it is fun at this point.
Yeah, I agree completely, 100% with you on that. I just have better things that I'd like to be playing.
Yeah, and there's tons of good stuff coming out this fall. I mean, we've got Fallout, we've got Metal Gear, we've got supposedly good Assassin's Creed again. I mean, there's not going to be time for Madden this year. It's just not going to happen.
I agree. And that's not that much of a stretch for me, but either way, there's my agenda. Mega Man Legacy Collection. I'm kind of interested in this. I think it's the first six, if I'm not mistaken.
I'm very excited about knocking the crap out of Sheep Man again. It's probably been 20 years since I played a legit... I mean, I demoed the last couple of ones that came out on PlayStation, but never bought them. But man, Mega Man back in the day was just, it's something else. I mean, it's such a unique experience, and I'm all over that. That's going to be a day one buy for me.
Yeah, and one of the things, I've seen Mega Man posters out there. I mean, so there's a big resurgence for Mega Man that I think that not a lot of people are aware of. But I've seen the posters in different stores. I think I saw them at FYE, Fear Entertainment. I think I saw another one at Target or something like that, I want to say. The one Mega Man poster that I'm actually looking for and waiting for is the one that has a list of all the different Mega Men. Because they had all the different characters. And that's the one I want. Because
nice.
I'm kind of weird like that. But that's coming out for the Xbox One, PS4, and PC on Tuesday. I'm going to have to check that one out.
I mean,
I'm definitely going to
check it. Depending
on
the price, I mean, that could, and what it costs, that could be the biggest bang for the buck of 2015 as far as games is concerned. I mean,
that's
six games, and assuming it's going to be, what, $29.99 tops? Probably way cheaper than that. I mean, that's a lot of, those games were not short, and those games were brutally hard. I mean, this isn't something you're going to beat in a weekend.
And for real, and it's also one of those games that, because it was so fun and because it was so awesome, but it's so accessible, that I think I'm going to be able to share with my son, and that he's going to be into it as well, because, I mean, it's just such a fantastic game. You're looking, Mega Man 2 came out in 1988, so you're talking... multiple decades old here. You're talking almost 30 years old, this franchise is. But from what I can remember of it, it was just so awesome and fun. And, yeah, I mean, they don't have Mega Man 7 and 8. Oh, no. You've got six other games that are just waiting for you to play them. I can't wait. I think it's going to be great. I'm looking for a price right now, and
I see $14.99. So I don't know how accurate that is, but if it's $15, I mean, come on, man, you're crazy.
Oh. Yeah, that's getting purchased. Yeah, I mean that's going to be fantastic. If you don't buy it for $15, you're nuts.
I agree.
Just like you said. Also, moving on, One Piece, Pirate Warriors 3, for the PS4, PS3, and Vita, as well as the PC. Don't know what that is, but it's Pirates and it's Warriors. It's Pirate Warriors, and it's the third one. Party Hard for the PC. I don't know if that has anything to do with
Andrew. I was going
to
say, it's got to be an Andrew WK simulator.
Punch people in the face, make their nose bleed. And then, because we're still not done with the 25th of August here, there's just so much. Shishimi, don't know what that is, but it's for the PS4 and the Vita. Steins Gate for the PS3 and the Vita. Until Dawn is actually coming out. Until Dawn is actually one I think I saw you talking about it, I want to say, earlier on Twitter.
That one with the cheerleader from Heroes is in it. I don't even want to try her name because I'll butcher it, but... yeah, it looks really, really cool, and supposedly the narrative is kind of like it adjusts as you go through. So, I mean, I'm excited about that. I'm definitely going to be picking that one up.
Nice. Yeah, it's, I'm looking at the summary. It says, look, you're going to get people killed in Until Dawn. It's a foregone conclusion. The only questions are, who is going to die and how gruesome will it be? There you go. Sold. I'm looking for a name. Hayden?
That sounds right. I mean, just basing by the description, it kind of reminds me of Heavy Rain from Last Generation, you know, where stuff was going to happen, but you didn't know, you know, you had your four main characters. You had no idea who was going to survive at the end. I mean, it was up to the choices you make and how good you were at the game. And this, just based on the description and the summary I'm looking at, I mean, it kind of reminds me of that.
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing is, it's one of those PS4 exclusives that everybody always wants to talk about. You had earlier this year, you had The Order 1886, which disappointed a lot of people. You had PT, which actually disappointed people in that it's not going to happen.
So frustrating.
And yeah, this might be the best survival horror that PS4 owners will actually get to play this week, or this year, rather.
Screenshots are definitely pretty. I mean, it looks gorgeous.
Yeah, it does. But that does it for August 25th, and we're just over halfway done with the list of games that are coming out this week. If you consider the beta, which GameInformer.com, which is where I get my list of upcoming releases, they do consider the beta as an actual video game release date, worthy date. So for the Xbox One and PC, the 26th of August, you'll get your Call of Duty Black Ops 3 beta. Octodad, Deadliest Catch, an Xbox One exclusive. Why would they call something Octodad with the connotation that Octo anything now has?
As a PlayStation guy, I'm not too broken up. That we don't have that exclusive here. That does not sound good.
Yeah, no, I can't imagine anything being called that would ever sell anything more than a dozen and a half copies. And that would be to the developers' families, just so they could support their loved one. Warhammer 40,000 Regicide for the PC. I just like the name
of
that
one. That's
a hell
of a title.
And, yeah, it is. And anytime you put Regicide in there, you know a king's going to die.
That's taking it up a notch.
And, yeah. Lara Croft Go is going to be coming out on August 27th for iOS and Android devices. So if you need a little Tomb Raider in your mobile life, there you go. It's Lara Croft Go. Layers of Fear for the PC on the 27th as well. As the Wii U will actually get another game, Runbow. Yeah, I'm not sure if that's rainbows or bow and arrows and running. But I don't own a Wii U, so I'm not, you know, too keen on keeping up with that. I'm opening the page now, though, so we'll see. Maybe. My computer says
it's
no.
It's very, very slow because I'm trying to do the same here, too, but I'm not getting anywhere.
It literally says nothing. It says nothing on the breakdown. It's from 13AM Games, if you're a big fan of them.
Oh, it's very colorful.
Yeah, it is. But, yeah, so if you have a Wii U, Ryan Noble, you can buy Runbow. The 28th, which is, I believe, next Friday, you will see Satellite Rain for the PC as your Striker Gunboat, which is an awesome name as well for the PC. And for the Xbox One and iOS devices, which would be Apple for all of you crazy people, Whispering Willows. So of those games, how many of these do you actually picture yourself ending up with in your library over the next month or two?
Honestly, just Mega Man pops out for me.
Yeah, me too. Me too. I'm looking at it, I'm like,
unless I somehow give in and cave in and buy Madden again, which I'm promise myself I'm not going to do. It's just going to be Mega Man, and that'll carry me over until the next big thing comes along. I mean, I can see myself investing 10, 20 hours in a Mega Man.
Yeah. And if my union contract that is due in October actually comes with a bonus, then maybe, probably, buy Until Dawn.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, definitely Until Dawn, too. I don't know if that's, you can buy that in the store, or is that just going to be download only, or what the deal is, but...
Yeah, I'm not 100%.
I just don't know much about it. I just haven't, it's kind of one of them that just kind of slipped through the crack here.
Yeah, I mean, you get the fantastic look, but I don't know, because I didn't see anything about it at the GameStop when I was there the other day. So, I don't know. I would hope that it would be a physical copy. Because that's a lot of downloading.
Yeah, on Amazon, it just, yeah, you can buy it on Amazon. It comes PS4 on a disc, so. Yep, I'll be getting that.
Yep, and me as well. It's just, we need the union contract. Come on,
man.
Go,
union, go.
Don't leave me hanging. Yeah, I'm such a bad union brother. I've actually been told that by my coworkers. So I kind of take that as a badge of honor because I like to exercise something called common sense.
I like your style, Brian.
But either way, if it comes with a bonus, then yeah, I can picture myself getting several games that I've had to skip out on while I nervously wait. However, that's going to do it for this week's show. So, Ryan, is there anything that you'd like to plug? Now that you've settled in there, do you got any more episodes of the Johnny Good Times Funcast
coming? We've kind of been on a hiatus here, but I'm actually going to be doing some podcasting for another friend of mine. We're going to be doing some Harry Potter podcast next week, and that's over on HaterTods.com.
Oh, nice. Yeah, you have to hook me up with a link.
Very excited about that.
And
so.
If it's kid-friendly, I'm sure my daughter will want to listen to it. But who knows? I mean, you never know. Because it's Harry Potter, and sometimes Harry Potter can make one excitable.
Yeah, no, that's I would be one of those, so.
Are you a big, what do you call him?
I don't know what exactly he's called. Nah, I'm not, like, hardcore or anything. I've never put on, like, a Harry Potter costume or gone to a midnight showing. Nothing weird like that. But I have watched the movies multiple times, and I've listened. I've never read the books, but I've done the audiobooks. But, I've been through those a couple of times. And, yeah, I mean, I'm 38 years old, and I'm comfortable admitting that it's a good story, and I enjoy it, and mock if you must, and I'm sure there will be many that will, but, you know.
Well, the thing is, you can find good stories in things that are geared for kids. Else, we wouldn't watch the Muppet
Show. Exactly, and the Goonies. I mean, how many times can you watch that movie over and over again? That is a kid's movie, and, I mean, I might throw the DVD in as soon as we're done talking here.
Exactly, and like I was telling you on Twitter the other day, I've read all my son's Star Wars books. I mean, yeah, they're for kids, and they're very obviously geared
towards
kids.
Those are some good books, though.
Yeah, but there's nothing wrong with that, and I mean, I watch some shows. I used to watch Backyardigans all the time. And I actually loved the Backyardigans.
Yeah, she went through a phase where she could not get enough of the Backyardigans, so I remember them well.
Yeah, and that was one of those shows I honestly did. I loved it. I just thought it was so fun, and there's nothing wrong with that. But, yeah, I just didn't know if Harry Potter fans had anything that they called themselves.
They must. I'm just, I just haven't earned that level of fandom at this point, so. I'm working at it.
You were like a muggle. But, either way, that's awesome. Hook me up with a link.
Definitely.
I know I'll be interested in that. And if you throw it out on Twitter, anybody who follows you on Twitter, at Ham Zero and Rye, which is R-Y.
Zero. A lot of people get that confused.
Yeah, I know. It'd be easy to, because you kind of just let it fly. But check that out. Do that as, just check it out. Either way, you can check him out on Twitter. You can check me out on Twitter, which is at ToonsBrian. The show actually has a Twitter account as well, which is at ToonsShow. Where you can do anything, whether it's Toons Game Time or Toons or Toons Chucks. Also, Trending Topics Network. Go to TrendingTopicsNetwork.com where you can find this show. You can find Old School at the Movies. You can find The Table Show, Spanish Announce Table, which they call it The Table Show because that's their Twitter handle, is Table Show. Any number of shows, Cerebral Satire, all that fun stuff can be found at TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. The Trending Topics Network iTunes feed is where you'll find this show, or the Toon Show specific iTunes feed, as I mentioned earlier. And Toon Show, just all that. I mean, you can find everything. So, but that's going to do it for this week's show. I want to thank each and every one of you for listening to this fun foray into the video game world. And until next week, have fun, keep gaming, do all that fun stuff, and thanks for listening.